Hello, and welcome to another session of Open House here at Community Media. I am Frank Kozak, the president of Adams County Tron Unlimited, and I have the pleasure of having with me today Kurt Musselman and Bob McElhaney from historic Gettysburg, Adams County. Very unique organization. They do many things, and they're going to tell us here a little bit about it. So for those who don't know about your organization, how do you introduce it?
Well, thanks for having us here today, Frank.
Certainly.
Yeah, many people know us as HJC or HGAC. I don't go with that pronunciation, but it's short for Historic Gettysburg Adams County, or the longer name is the Preservation Society of Gettysburg Adams County. Okay. And so that longer name tells you what we do. We're about historic preservation, and it's not of just documents, but of the architectural characteristics of the county. Now, we're not the Land Conservancy. We don't have easements and keep the open land open, but we're interested in the historic character of the countryside. So with our project in particular, with barn preservation, but also with recognizing historic houses and the work that people do to preserve those. Okay. So that's sort of the overarching objective of the organization. The key thing is we are Adams County-wide. So we view ourselves as an umbrella organization that is looking to encourage historic preservation, you know, on all sides of Adams County.
Okay. All right. And just quick introductions of yourself and how you fit into the organization.
Right. Well, this is Bob McElhaney.
Hey, yeah, Bob McElhaney. I've been a rank-and-file volunteer with HJC since, I think it was 2003. Okay. And in 2005, we started the Barn Preservation Project, and that really drew me into wanting to be involved at a higher level. Mm-hmm. So that's really my interest in the organization is barn preservation.
Yeah.
And then I'm Kurt Musselman, and I'm a Gettysburg native. And actually, my mother was involved with historic Gettysburg Adams County back in the 1970s when it was first founded.
Okay.
And she was one of their town guides when HGC actually began the Gettysburg downtown tours. Of course, now there's a whole separate organization that does it. But it's interesting, through the years, there are a lot of projects that HGC has sort of kicked off, mm-hmm. and then other groups have taken it on and run with it. So anyway, I'm a retired employee of the National Park Service. I was a cartographer at Gettysburg for 30-some years, and past president of HGAC, and the chairman of the Preservation Committee.
Thank you.
Also lead Underground Railroad tours and our crew of tour guides there with the HGAC. That's one of our other activities that we do.
You do a little bit of everything.
A lot of barns, though.
A lot of barns. Yeah. Well, that's good. So tell me, what prompted the start of the organization? And when was that?
Well, Frank, the organization goes back to 1975. And at that point at the Gettysburg National Military Park, the superintendent was John Ernst. And he and others had recognized that the threat to the battlefield of Gettysburg was not within the area designated by Congress, but in the neighboring countryside.
Okay.
And this was a common theme throughout the Park Service. A good example of a battlefield so effective is that Manassas battlefield, where you have heavy development and almost skyscrapers going right up to the edge of the authorized boundary of the battlefield. Then you get into the woods and the fields, and oh, it's a battlefield. So the idea was the Park Service needed to work with the local community in Gettysburg to be able to encourage historic preservation, mm-hmm. Not only of the landscapes, which the Land Conservancy of Adams County works on the open space easements, but the architectural fabric, which of course Gettysburg as the town, and then all the towns in Adams County were a part of, because the Gettysburg campaign and battle was so large,
yes.
that most of the towns were impacted. And so he came up with the idea, well, we need this local organization, and talked to some local preservationists, mm-hmm. and pretty much that was part of the seed of the idea of creating the organization.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you can think about the what was on people's minds in 1975. Was anticipating the coming year of the anniversary of the country, 1976. So they started to think about the need and the importance of preserving historic buildings. I believe I'm correct in saying that at that time, there was a proposal to tear down the Adams County Courthouse in Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was part of what motivated people to get organized. And that was that was probably the beginning of HGAC. And I might point out, some of your viewers might receive this really neat publication called Gettysburg Neighbors. Mm-hmm. And the most recent issue features HJC's board members on the front, and inside is a very well-written description of our history as an organization and things we do.
Okay.
So it's a great way to
share that.
Tie into what we're talking about.
So was it a significant first jump into this, that people saw the need, or was it something that more like grew slowly over time?
Well, that is an interesting question here, to have been back and looking over people's shoulders. I think, like with a lot of new ideas, people were enthusiastic. There was a part of that jumping into it, even though there was like fertile ground for, oh yeah, we're in a very historic place, let's do more. There was a full-time director hired at the time, but actually within a couple of years, that person was let go. And so it became more of a, what can a bunch of volunteers do?
Okay.
And that is a harder, road to hoe.
And remember, that was 50 years ago,
right,
51 years ago. So
at a different time.
Yes, right. Yeah. Some of us don't remember.
Yeah, and then also as far as the timing goes, that's a time when volunteerism really started to drop off a lot too. So here you have an organization founded, first thinking we'll have professional staff and make this thing happen. That's an expensive thing to do, so they pull back from that. Then you have volunteers, and people aren't volunteering as much. So there were definitely a number of fits and starts over the years, and even identifying what do we do. There's a big focus on houses, and there's been a house awards program almost from the beginning. That's one of the things that the organization does, is recognize homes that people have done a very nice job taking care of. And then through the years, the mission has sort of grown beyond houses, and what we're here mostly talking about is the Barn Project, which didn't really come around until about 2005.
Okay.
Yes, that was from 75 to 2005, no barn project.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I'm a barn owner. There are many members of HGAC. We're barn owners, and we sort of recognize these are a major part of the fabric of the landscape that needs to be preserved. What can we do to help owners preserve them?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that there aren't, other areas that need attention. I mean, you have historic cemeteries, you have old mills, other areas, but it's just as far as capacity, we can't do it all, but it'd be nice if somebody was working on them as well.
Yeah, I think it's a testament that you've been around for as long as you have as a volunteer organization.
Yeah. Okay,
and you've been through the ups and downs.
Right.
You weathered that, weathered changes in your volunteer force, and you're going strong. So that's
and
thing.
One thing you can see on the previous slide, I'm now finally paying attention to them, in the logo of our organization is the post number 9 of the J.R. Hall, which is downtown Gettysburg, and that was taken over by our organization from the Sons of Union Veterans because they started dying out, and we basically did a major rehab, and it's considered sort of the flagship project of the organization, because the historic building, one of the first churches or oldest churches.
It was a church at the time of the battle.
And so that is something that since 75 and working forward, been taken care of, along with the houses.
Okay.
But as we began to focus on preserving barns, I like to invite people to think about it in this way. If you think of Rome, you think of the Colosseum. Mm-hmm. If you think of Paris, you think of the Eiffel Tower and Big Ben in London. But the style of barn that we have here in South Central Pennsylvania, it's known as a Pennsylvania barn because it has two characteristics, a forebay on the front and a bank on the back. So when you see a barn like that, you pretty much know where you are.
Okay, let me ask you, so I don't understand what those mean. So with two things, the forebay and...
Okay, well you can see it a little bit in our logo.
Okay.
But we brought a model along to make it easier to describe what we're talking about.
Right, so the Pennsylvania barn, the Pennsylvania barn is an architectural style.
Yep.
It's not just any barn in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Although some people are happy to use that definition.
Okay.
But Bob will show you the major characteristics.
And how did they come about to be
barn.
This type of structure?
Well, the design was brought along from Europe. In a part of Europe that, I guess you could say, Switzerland, Germany, France, right in there, Austria.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was to build a barn into a bank or the side of a hill.
Okay.
And if the side of the hill wasn't available, you would build a ramp of earth.
Yes, okay. That's that part.
So that gives you access to the upper level of the barn where grain is stored, feed for the livestock. And then on the front of the barn, they added extra storage space to the upper level, a storage bay, you could say,
okay.
And it's on the front of the barn, so it's a four bay,
okay.
And it overhangs the entrances to the stable.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives protection okay. from the weather and sun for the entrance to the stables, which is on the lower level. So you got livestock on the lower level and grain and feed for the livestock, hay, straw stored up above. So it's easy to get down to the lower level.
Okay.
So that is basically a Pennsylvania barn. Four bay on the front, bank on the back.
Now, is there something unique about its construction in terms of materials or design, other than what we're just talking about here, like on the interior?
This is a design you don't see very much outside of our South Central, Central Pennsylvania area. You do see them occasionally outside that area, but they predominate here in Adams County.
It's interesting. So the population that migrated here, I guess I would say, in
Irish and Germans
brought with them this style.
So the heartland is southeastern Pennsylvania. You get over to Berks County and that area where you had the mix of the early Germans and the English, and both bringing characteristics of the barns that they knew, as Bob explained with the bank barn and the overhang. And then there are subtle changes in the design and finishing of these buildings, but pretty much followed the path of the German migration across Pennsylvania and then down the Great Valley. So we do have a number of these kind of barns go down into Winchester and the Shenandoah Valley. But Adams County is the only county that was totally within what they call the core region of the Pennsylvania barn. Right. And of course, that was established by geographers who have studied in a very statistical fashion the spread of these kind of barns.
So how many barns, historic barns, are there in Adams County?
Well, we use a figure of about 1,500. And where that comes from is when we started our project, one of the things we were able to do was acquire a copy of the tax records in Adams County, where, of course, they're very careful about how many buildings you have on your property and what their size are. And they did not have very good attributes or descriptions of the farm buildings, but from what they had, we were able to determine, as far as their use for horses or cattle, that there were 1,500.
Okay.
So that's sort of the ballpark that we use.
Don't we think about 90% of them are of this style of Pennsylvania style?
Yeah, 80 to 90% are of Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Just within our county.
Yes.
Yeah.
1,500 barns, that's a lot of barns.
Here's a very unique barn in Adams County. I think it's the only one we know of that actually has a bridge instead of a bank. To get access to the upper level for wagons.
Bridge across there.
See, but farmers who have a barn, a bank barn, they often refer to the bank as the barn bridge.
Okay.
If you talk to them, if you ask them, bridge. What do you call that thing? They'll say, it's the barn bridge.
Yeah, even though it's a built-up ramp.
It's not a bridge, it's a ramp.
Okay. Yeah.
But this is a beautiful stone barn, and you can see the four bay on the front that overhangs the entrance to the lower level, the stables.
So we'd be interested in having the absolute answer to that, Frank, someday, like how many historic barns are there in Adams County?
Still throwing a ballpark number out, that's impressive.
Yeah, another impressive number is that when we started our project, actually working with the barn owners was key. It's a grassroots project.
Yeah.
You know, we're not coming in from the top and we're gonna buy barns and take care of them. It's too big a project.
Yeah.
But we figure we want to encourage the owners to appreciate what they've got, one.
Mm-hmm.
That's by helping study the barns, and then to give them advice, too, on here's what you need to have done to your barn or you might consider doing. And then eventually we worked into having a grant program for them. But as far as the lead-in step to that, we created a register to basically recognize and document all the historic barns within Adams County.
Yeah.
So someday we'll see if we can't get up to 1,500 barns in the register, or maybe we'll run out of barns. You know, there weren't that many barns. We overestimated.
And it too makes you think about the agricultural base of the society at that time.
Yes.
You know, that was it, right?
Yeah.
A lot of barns,
yeah. Exactly. So, as far as the rural character of Adams County, if you don't have the barns on it, it's just could be open fields.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we figured that, this is an important part of it. At this point, then, we have 440 barns are on our register.
Mm-hmm.
And the neat thing about that is it's not like, we're just driving down the road and say, put that barn on the register. That's 440 barn owners have approached us and said, I would like to include my barn on your register. It's 50 years old. That's the basic, baseline. It has to be that old. And then we will study it and give them an approximate date of when it was constructed, and then they can take advantage of being in the program.
Okay. Does it cost them any money to get on the registry?
No.
No?
No. Okay, but I want to point out about this slide that we're showing. It says barn number 3.
Yeah, I see that.
So that was the third barn that we surveyed.
Yep.
We photographed the barns inside and out, and we measure them and record all the architectural details. And that becomes the survey report. Mm-hmm. So this is number 3. And as Kurt said, I think we just did 445 recently.
Yeah.
So we have surveyed about a quarter of that 1,500 barns.
For a volunteer organization, that's impressive.
And that's 20 years worth of work, too.
Yeah. Yep. So can you tell me how old this barn is? I'm just curious. You know that offhand?
I think this was the 1820s to 1830. Okay. It has all the characteristics. One thing is the stone barns, either all the way to the peak or more than just the foundation. That was an early 19th century sort of building material. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They used it. And later on, as the sawmills cranked out more stuff and more inexpensive, they became replaced that way. There, of course, the era there where there were more brick barns. But, then, of course, the shape of the barn, mm-hmm. This one is showing it's asymmetrical, including the forebay over there. Later on, we have a standard Pennsylvania barn type where it is symmetrical, and that forebay overhang is included in the basic design of the building. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just curious, so I'm kind of going down this path here. So mm-hmm. what are the little slits for? Is that just for ventilation?
Yeah, that's for the ventilation.
Ventilation, okay.
Yep, so one characteristic that of the Adams County barns actually is that how highly ventilated they are. Is that a lot of these things, like when Bob was talking about the definition of Pennsylvania barn, you have local listeners or viewers of the program, there's like, oh, I know that, or yeah, that's what the barn is, but we take it for granted. Mm-hmm. And that is the same thing with the ventilation, having meetings and being involved with Historic Barn and Farm Foundation that looks at all of Pennsylvania barns, we come to find out, oh, the Adams County barns are a little bit more ventilated than other barns throughout the state. But that's what those slits are for, is just to provide the air circulation through the barn.
Did you say they're called loopholes?
No, I did not.
Okay. Yeah. And they're very narrow on the outside wall, but inside they open up wide on the inside.
Okay.
So it kind of prevents rain and snow and stuff from getting in, mm-hmm. but lots of air can flow through that.
Yes, the Venturi effect, it pulls the air right through there.
Yeah. Well, you've much piqued my curiosity, even about this one barn. So how long would it have taken to build a barn like this?
Yeah, I think that within the 2 years is the sort of the general ballpark that when we talk with people who do the construction as far as curing the materials, and then of course the inside, I don't know if we have pictures of it, but it'll show the framing of it. It's all hand-hewn, mortise and tenon all put together by hand, that as far as laying that out and creating the materials, can take that long to put together. And then of course, you hear about barn raisings, when they have all the pieces together, then it can go up fast, but there's a lot of prep work to get it there.
Okay. Yeah. So I need to move away from this barn as much as I'd like to ask more questions. So how can people get involved, or how can people take a step to help preserve more of the barns and maybe get on your registry?
What do you think, Bob?
Well, if you own a barn, to have us survey it and have it become on our register, there are some benefits that you get to enjoy once your barn has been surveyed. Mm-hmm. And the greatest benefit of all is that you are now eligible to apply for one of our grants. Okay. And another benefit is that they get a very substantial discount on paint for their barn from the Sherwin-Williams paint store in Gettysburg.
Okay.
That's the only store that barn owners whose barns have been surveyed can get that discount. But it's considerable because it takes a lot of paint to paint a barn.
I would imagine. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So the grant program is something that we started in 2013. These are, I guess, what you would call micro grants. The maximum amount is $5,000 per grant. And so we have fundraising events to fund the grant program. And when you ask how can people help, they can take part in our fundraising events.
Right. Yeah, of course, we're always open to just having checks sent to us.
I'm not surprised to hear that.
HJC, that's a barn preservation project on it. But where Bob started out, is the key thing is we've you know, want to work with the barn owners, but not everybody owns barns. But that's it. If you own a barn, you know, get in contact with us. We'll put you on the register and, you know, take you down the golden path. If you don't, if you have a neighbor or somebody that you know that has one, then the word of mouth, you know, have them call us, because we don't want to be in people's faces, be too pushy about this. But yeah, that's pretty much how people can help us out. And then, of course, help themselves out by having a good time going on our barn tour.
Right.
That's one of our major fundraisers that we do.
Yeah. So speaking of that, so that's coming up. It's a big fundraiser. That's how you get your funds. Then you can provide grants to barn owners. Tell us about the tour coming up, if you don't mind.
Oh, I was going to talk about the grants a little bit more with this slide I just put up.
Okay.
So this map is really interesting. It's a map of Adams County, of course. Gettysburg is sort of like in the center. You can sort of picture it as the hub of a wheel with spokes going out that are the roads. But if you see a lot of red dots on the map, those are the locations of barns we have surveyed.
Okay.
But there's also dots on the map. You might not be able to see them as well, but they're little green dots all over the county. That's the 1,500 barns that we think still exist. Okay. And the stars indicate the locations of barns that have received grants this year.
Oh, just this year, okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, 10 this year. So that's an unusually large number that it's for our management purposes. Once again, we're a volunteer organization. Usually six or seven is better.
Okay.
But what we're trying to do is help as many barn owners out as possible.
Great.
So even though our maximum grant amount is $5,000, everybody might not get that much, especially in a year where we have 10 grant recipients.
Okay.
That's pretty much what we're helping the barns out. If it's a good project, yeah, we'll help you with it.
So you have this other, say, roughly 900 barns out there. What are the eligibility requirements to be in your program?
Yeah, it's very simple, as I say. It's basically a 50-year-old barn.
That's it? Okay.
Yeah, if it's 50. That and that, like, 1965, I think, is the newest barn that we have. It's out by the Hickory Bridge barn and farm and restaurant, sort of next door to that one. But, yeah, that's the requirement, and just to ask to be put on it. And I mean, there's very rare cases. There was once or twice where we went out and it actually was not a barn.
The way we define a barn is it's a building that either housed livestock or stored agricultural products.
Okay.
So if you did either of those or both, you're a barn.
Okay.
And we have some barns that fall into a classification we call in-town ground barns. So they're not a Pennsylvania barn. They're in a town. A lot of times people refer to them as carriage houses. They might be that. So that there's actually stables in it and then place for food storage.
Okay.
So we will include those as historic barns. Once again, part of the landscape of the historic barns.
Most of those have been turned into garages now.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, since we've been doing the grants since 2013, you know, and it's a little bit more every year, we've now reached a point where we've given out $176,685 in grants. So the neat thing is we require a match, so you take double that amount, and that's how much money that through our program has been put into taking care of these barns.
Okay.
And in many cases, people put in more money than just our grant amount, but we feel our project is getting the toe in the door. Mm-hmm. Say, oh, look, you know, we'll help you get started with this. And then a lot of people say, oh, yeah, that was a good thing that I did that. I'm going to do a little bit more.
Okay. Now, so that's the individual typically does the match.
Yeah.
Are there other sources of fund that an individual can go to be part of their match, you know?
Well, where they go to get part of their match sort of is not up to us in terms of as long as they come up with it.
Okay,
but
curious.
If there are other programs, but I don't think for Adams County residents they're as accessible.
Okay, just curious.
Yeah, I mean, there is a Historic Barn and Farms Foundation Barn Grant program, and they pretty much fashioned it based on what we did. We gave them all of our paperwork of, you know, how you do the grants and administer them and criteria for giving the grants. And they just started about 2 years ago, and they have a specific focus every year. I think last year theirs was on roofs. I mean, they said, okay, the grants this year are going to roofs. Ours are pretty much, you know, spread out, and we'll take anything. And then you can get, if you have at the highest level, if you have a very historic barn, like where, I guess, George Washington slept or something like that, and it's on the National Register, then you can get various tax credits for work that you've done on it. But that gets to be just too difficult a thing for most people to take on, so, you know, we're not going there with that.
All right, I understand.
Yeah.
All right. So you've gone to this next slide. Would you like to speak to that a bit?
Yeah. Well, I think you were going to ask us about some of the other activities that HGAC is involved in, mm-hmm. the parent organization that the Barn Preservation Project is part of mm-hmm. HGAC. But HGAC does more than just preserve barns. Mm-hmm. So this graphic kind of represents each of the different programs that mm-hmm. HGAC supports. Mm-hmm. So if you go, so you start at the top and go to the right, that's the Barn Preservation Project, and then they each year we present a house award for the owners of homes that have been historically restored and preserved. Then we also, as an organization, we maintain those Civil War hospital signs that you see around the Gettysburg area. The gray ones are for Confederate hospitals, and the blue signs are for Union Civil War hospitals.
Do you know how many signs there are that you have?
Oh, dozens.
I think it's 59 is our latest count.
And okay, just curious.
We do add more through the years. We get a lot of requests to do it, but it's like the Underground Railroad where, you know, everybody's house has a little nook that was an Underground Railroad site. So how do you prove that?
Yeah.
With the hospitals, you know, there is more documentation, obviously, with the battle and the aftermath, but there's, you know, once again, just a lot more verbal stories. Oh, my grandmother said we had wounded soldiers here. Can I get a hospital sign? Well, you know, we're looking for better documentation.
Yeah, than that. Okay.
So to continue, we already just touched a little bit on the fact that we conduct tours of the McAllister Mill Underground Railroad site. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting story, and those tours are the months are from May or April?
No, May.
May to?
June, July, and August.
June, July, and August. And the tours start at the location where Mulligan McNuffer's golf, miniature golf place used to be on the Littlestown Road. Mm-hmm. There's a parking area there. So it's very interesting.
In addition to the tours, the HGAC nominated three additional sites within Adams County to the National Park Service's Network to Freedom.
Okay.
So that's a project where the Park Service has identified 700 sites nationwide, so from California, you know, all the way to Maine or whatever, that have a verifiable connection with the Underground Railroad.
Okay.
So the three other sites that we nominated were in Upper Adams County and mm-hmm. sort of got us started in this. The McAllister Mill one, of course, is the only one that's within, actually, the authorized boundary of the Gettysburg Battlefield, although it's privately owned land, and that it's easy for us to conduct tours to right there adjacent to the battlefield.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a few years ago, HGAC started the Bonnie Braun Investing in Youth Initiative. We work with students from the Adams County Technical Institute, mm-hmm. the students who are in the building trades, and we present to them the concept that there might be a path for them as a career mm-hmm. in historic preservation mm-hmm. building trades,
okay.
not just building new mm-hmm. buildings. And we have some really interesting activities that we do with those students. Mm-hmm. And this is a program that we really expect to flourish in the future.
And it'd be wonderful it did, because it's a much needed program.
Yes.
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 Okay.
And then finally, we operate what's called the HGAC Architectural Salvage Warehouse, where folks donate old items from old homes, like shutters and doors and windows and mm-hmm. all kinds of old things. And they're donated to us and we sell them. It's located at the Daniel Lady Farm. Mm-hmm. So you never know what you're going to find, because the stuff turns over quickly,
right.
and there's always something new and interesting mm-hmm. there. Old stuff, mm-hmm. cool, neat old stuff.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
I was going to just the address of the.
Offhand, I don't know, but you can get information about all this at our website.
And what's your website address?
It's hgaconline.org.
Okay, great. Okay. You have another slide you'd like to go to, or we can move on to the tour?
Now, this is what you want
to do. This is the big enchilada. Okay.
Yeah, this is our major fundraiser to provide money for our grant program. Mm-hmm. So the format is you get to drive your car to different barns in Adams County, and there are activities going on mm-hmm. in each barn, so you're not walking through just empty barns. These are privately owned barns that you wouldn't normally get a chance to see. And it's on Saturday, September 19th. Everybody on the tour starts at the Round Barn. So there at the Round Barn, you'll get a red wristband that says you paid your admission of $35 for adults. That's in advance. Mm-hmm. It's $40 for adults on the day of.
Okay.
And kids under 18 are free. So we encourage kids to come. Right. At the Round Barn, you get a barn booklet like this. And it has information about each barn and the activities in each barn. And you also get a beautiful map, which Kurt does. He's our cartographer. That shows the location of the barns on the tour. And then on the back, that's our bill of fare, because we have food available at each barn.
Wonderful. Okay.
I love this one food provider we have is an Amish family, mm-hmm. and they're selling soup and homemade ice cream. They have a tractor with a belt that's running an ice cream maker. Right. And it's just a fun group, but the food is great. And this also, we have a QR code here that gives you a glossary of terms, mm-hmm. like forbay and mm-hmm. Bank, you know, all the terms you encounter when you're talking about old barns.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, we've been doing the barn tours for really about as long as we've been doing the project. Yeah, we use May 5th, 2005 as the sort of date that the barn project began, just sort of like July 4th, 1776, sort of an ornamental, but you know, that's the day. And we used to do barn tours, which was a lot of fun, mm-hmm. but then you're limited
by bus.
Yeah. Right. But that was, you know, I say a limit. This, the fun thing about it is it's wide open how many people can come. We usually get at least 200 people, mm-hmm. but it's not too crowded because people are scattering to the different barns throughout the county, and then we're able to provide, you know, a variety of kinds of barns to look at that are all privately owned, mm-hmm. that you're not going to get into any other time of the year, and they're all new barns. It's not the same barns that we've been going to tours before.
They're new old barns.
New old barns. Yeah.
Okay. So the enjoyment of the historic site.
Yes.
There's activities, there's food.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And it's rain or shine, of course.
Yeah, rain or shine. And you can drive to the barns in any order and stay as long as you like. Okay. You don't have to go to all the barns. Mm-hmm. But the activities are interesting this year. One of the things we're excited about is we have invited the local chapter of Trout Unlimited to be present at one of the barns because there's a beautiful spring-fed pond there.
I will be there, yeah.
And what is Trout Unlimited planning for the barn tour?
We will have demonstrations and instruction on fly casting on the grass, targeting a hula hoop maybe 30 feet away. And once a person masters that, they can get onto the water.
Nice.
And cast onto the water, maybe try to catch a fish or two. we will have a fly tying demonstrations. And we had thought about some other things, but given that it's private property, we have to... restricted just to those type of enjoyable things.
Plus, you're going to spread the word about your mission and what Trout Unlimited does.
Certainly talk about our mission and what we do in the community as well.
Yeah.
Yep, want to get that word out.
We're also going to have the pleasure of the South Mountain Audubon Society is going to be at one of the barns talking about barns as bird habitat. Mm. You know, barn owls live in barns and barn swallows. Pigeons. Great. So they're going to have a lot of very interesting information about birds and barns.
Wonderful.
And we, of course, had the timber framing demonstration. Yeah. You know, we have some experts standing by that know about, answer the questions you were asking earlier. Oh, how did they put this together? So we'll get some real details there. Yeah.
The Chambersburg Quilt Guild is going to have some women working on a quilt, actually sewing a quilt during the tour. We have some women who do tatting and lace making. Mm-hmm. We have a guy demonstrating chair caning, and you can kind of see that all these activities are things that people did in the 1800s, mm-hmm. which is the time frame of when the barns were built.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we try to have the activities kind of match the time frame of the barns. People were fishing back in 1800s.
Oh, yeah. I will make sure to bring my grandfather's bamboo fishing rod.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah, bamboo, huh? Yeah. Not plastic.
No. Well, not plastic anymore.
Not fiberglass.
No. Yeah, wonderful. And so the time of day of the tour again?
It's from 10 to 4.
Okay.
But you have to start the tour at the Round Barn between 10 and 12.
Okay.
Because we figure if you don't leave by 12 o'clock, you're not going to get to all the barns. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't get your money's worth.
Right. Okay. All right. Wonderful. Anything else about the tour?
just go to our website, hgaconline.org, and click on get a ticket. You go to Eventbrite. Mm-hmm. That's the ticket providing service that we use.
For an enjoyable educational day? Okay.
Yes. Wonderful. Yeah. Bring your grandkids and your cameras.
Okay. All right. If you have a fishing pole, bring a fishing pole. Where we're at.
Here's
but we will have plenty of gear.
This is a scene from one of the barn tours where we have a shaving horse.
Mm-hmm. Schnitzelbank.
Schnitzelbank. Thank you. It wasn't quite coming to me. It's a German name, Schnitzelbank.
I would have guessed that.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. So you use the Schnitzelbank to hold the work that you're using the draw knife to shape a piece of wood, like into a peg that holds the mortise and tenon joints of a barn together.
Okay.
So you can't just go to the store and buy those pegs. You have to make them yourself back in the 1800s.
First, you have to make the device. I mean, that's challenging enough.
Yeah, we have a few of those sitting around.
Yeah. So you see, we demonstrate this kind of thing.
Yeah, a little hands-on to activities.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, that's. Let's leave it with that one.
Okay. A couple last wrap-ups here. So, where do you see the organization in 5 years and having an imprint on the community? You do many things. You're a volunteer organization, so you're limited. Obviously, you do the best you can as volunteers.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that we do at with the Barn Preservation Project, and it has been a most successful project since 2005, is give advice to the barn owners. And what we'd like to do is within the HJC organization, broaden that to be in a larger preservation sense to homeowners as well. Mm-hmm. So have a preservation specialist could give you advice on how to do the work. What might need to be done, first of all. Most people are pretty good about taking care of their houses because they have to live in it. So if the roof is leaking, they notice right away.
Right.
But with barns, that's the thing we found a lot of times is they're out here. If they don't have an agricultural use for it, that doesn't happen right away. Yeah. So we're trying to develop expertise and help people know what to do in terms of historic preservation steps that they can take.
Okay. Yeah.
Let me say one more thing about the barn tour, if I could backtrack a little bit. We're going to have a visit in person from Thaddeus Stevens.
No. Okay.
He is going to be in one of the barns that's a log barn. So it's what they call a log crib barn. Mm-hmm. It's one of the oldest barns we know of in the county, built in the late 1700s. We picked that barn this year on account of our 250th anniversary,
So tell the audience about Thaddeus Stevens.
Oh, he's probably the most famous unknown person in America.
Famous unknown, okay.
Yeah, right. He was in the House of Representatives at the time of the Battle of Gettysburg. Mm-hmm. But he was a lawyer in Gettysburg before he became active in politics. Mm-hmm. He was active in establishing Gettysburg College, for instance.
Okay.
He was a rabid abolitionist. He hated slavery. And when the rebels came through, they went out of their way to burn his business down.
But the Caledonia Ironworks?
Ironworks at Caledonia.
No.
But he went on to be very prominent in the House of Representatives. So he has a very strong Gettysburg connection.
Okay.
So that's why we invited him to come.
Yeah. Should be very interesting.
Yeah.
Elderly gentleman.
Yeah, that's a good tour tie in there for sure.
Okay.
I was going to say just some of the other things that as the organization that we're looking to do is pretty much expand what we do with the Underground Railroad. Mm-hmm. So some of this as far as how it's done is yet to be determined.
Certainly. Yep.
But we've nominated successfully 4 sites in Adams County. There certainly were more than that number of sites. They talk about Basil Biggs and him helping out with taking the freedom seekers through the McPherson's farm or the Bortz farm down the Marsh Creek there. So there are other sites we could nominate and bring more attention to. But that's an area for growth, perhaps.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and then, of course, already touched on was the Investing in Youth program of finding projects. This year, they worked on the National Apple Museum up in Biglerville. So that's a very, right by the road, important site that people could see, and was a barn in particular. We've been making, reaching out to the Park Service, see what we can do to help them, because we understand they have less money all the time and just a very difficult time taking care of the 21 historic barns that they have within the battlefield. And not a lot of people know, many of the barns on the battlefield were not there at the time of the battle, but they just represent a barn that was there. because the barn was, in most cases, a smaller, older barn, maybe even a log crib barn from 1700s. And then throughout the 1800s, the owners, you know, after 1860, built a newer barn. So we still have many of those in the park, and they need help preserving them. So that's one of the areas we'd like to be able to help out in.
You do a wide variety of things to help the community. How many volunteers do you have?
Oh, that's a good one. Just even on the barn tour alone, Bob, you're sort of the master of
that.
Yeah,
I think it takes about 60 volunteers to stage the barn tour.
Okay.
Because we have people at each barn, and you know, there, it takes a lot of people to pull it off all day long. But I think our membership for the organization is between 300 and 400.
At this point,
somewhere.
You're getting a lot done. 300 or 400 people.
That's right.
Much appreciated.
And with volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's it, and the community support too.
Right.
So that's the thing, as far as people say, well, where does your money come from? With the grants, this year alone, we're giving out $35,000, and maybe about half of that will be coming from our barn tour. It's hard to tell, you know, year to year how successful we are. Yep. We also have a barn art show and sale in June as our other major fundraiser.
Okay.
And then we have a number of corporations that have helped us through the years. Of course, Rice Fruit was there at the very beginning.
Yes. Rice Fruit Company is one of our major sponsors.
Major sponsor. So some of those have helped throughout the years. And then we've been able to get sort of mitigation monies from the state historic preservation organization when people are doing things that we would not consider good for historic preservation, but are given permission to do it if they make a donation to a group that is doing something for historic preservation. We've gotten some grants that way to help fund us. But every penny helps, and we make it go a long way.
As a volunteer organization, nonprofit. I appreciate that. So in closing here, what would you like the audience to leave recognizing or being aware of here as we wrap up after this discussion here?
Well, that they can help. I mean, that's the one thing. And if they maybe don't have a helping bone in their body, if they're just interested, you know, they can check things out and learn something about what's just around them that, as I say, we oftentimes take for granted. Yeah. Okay, just, you know, where these bars come from, what are they about? And then with the organization as a whole, oh, there are people that are interested in houses, Underground Railroad, you know, the architecture.
I like to think of it in this way, that the more you know about a place where you live, the more likely it is for you to care about it and to want to preserve it, you know, want to take care of it.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, our mission is what provides the energy for our volunteers. So I think it's a way to get acquainted with the place where you live.
Okay. I appreciate that
Bob.
All right. Well, that's it for today with this session of Open House. Very much appreciate this engaging discussion, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us, Frank.
Yeah, yes. Thank you.
Frank Kozak, and we will see you next time.
This program is made possible by these municipalities through a portion of their cable franchise fees. Abbottstown Borough, Cumberland Township, Berwick Township, Freedom Township, Gettysburg Borough, Germany Township, Hamilton Township, Hamilton Band Township, Mount Pleasant Township, New Oxford Borough, Oxford Township, Reading Township, and Strabane Township. Thank you to our amazing sponsors, Adams County Community Foundation, Adams County Sports Hall of Fame, Adams County Trout Unlimited, Classic Antique Innovations, Destination Gettysburg, Exchange Club of Hanover, and Gettysburg Railway. We would also like to thank all of our Patreon members. In the Attaboy tier, Rachel Beard. In the Contributing Producer tier, Zelma's Emporium. Visit our website to learn how to become a sponsor or Patreon member, communitymedia.net. Community Media, celebrating who we are and what we do as a community. And be sure to follow us on all social media platforms. Thank you.